You are now entering the spoiler zone. The following podcast contains explicit plot details and pockets of profanity. You have been warned. The Exton Moss Experiment. Adventures in wine and space with Simon Exton and Ken Moss.
Hello everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Exton Moss Experiment. I'm Ken Moss.
I'm Simon Exton.
The randomizer threw up school reunion.
Good morning, class. Are we sitting comfortably?
May I introduce Miss Sarah Jane Smith?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes, very nice.
3 months ago, it turns out all the kitchen staff were replaced.
So there's definitely something going on. I was right to call you.
Boy in class this morning. Got knowledge way beyond planet Earth.
K-9!
Things seem to be something new.
The universe has to move forward. Everything has its time. And everything ends.
The time has come, my brother.
I'm very pleased about this.
It's a long time since I've seen it, actually, so I really hope we're not going to be disappointed, although it has Sarah Jane.
It's got Sarah Jane and K-9.
How can we be disappointed?
I'm not even going to begin to talk about it. We'll do the commentary for it and probably gush over it for the next 45 minutes. Before we do, of course, we need to get the top off the gin, tonic screwdriver out, and let's see what we've got for today. This is our first drink of the morning. We just had bacon butties, and what better way to wash it down than with...
the limited edition Hendrix gins that have come out. So Hendrix make a really well-known cucumbery type main range gin, but they've released a couple of limited editions recently, and we've got the Midsummer Solstice one, and it says that it is infused with an array of natural floral essences in celebration of the eternal mysteries of the Midsummer Solstice. So, as info bollocks go, it's neither informative or helpful, but suitably flouncy. And it is quite a flouncy flavoured gin, isn't it?
I'm getting sort of, I want to say black currant-y, but it's summer fruit, certainly. I like it.
And I think there's a touch of elderflower in there as
yes,
well.
Yes, there is.
It's kind of elderflower and I'd say black currant rather than blackberry. It's lovely.
It is. It's not a flavour that I would actually naturally go for, but... it's so interesting and so nice. I'm going to give that a 4.
Yes, I think so too. I mean, if I saw that on a menu, I'd think about it. It's interesting enough to stand on its own. It's not quite 5 territory for
no,
me,
it isn't,
but
no.
it's a good, comfortable 4. I would probably search that out again.
Yeah, very nice. Well, grab your glass. We shall descend into the bowels of Podcasting House and open the door on the Black Archive.
So what I'm going to search out from the Black Archive is a 4-episode children's serial from way back in January 1956.
Crikey, right.
The first child-oriented science fiction that the BBC put out. It's a thing called Space School.
And oh, have we done...
Well, it doesn't exist.
So. No. There was a series of... am I thinking of something else? They went to Mars and they went to the moon.
No, that was the Pathfinders. That's an ITV thing that came later. No, Space School was the goings-on of 4 siblings who lived on a satellite in Earth orbit. And I don't really know an awful lot more about it than that, but it was the first kids' sci-fi that the BBC did, and because of that, it would be nice to have it back. But it was put out as live and never recorded, so...
Well, it helped. Right, well, I'm going to go for a series called Take Heart, which was the follow-up series to Vision On, and starred Tony Hart. It was one from my very early days at school.
And Morph.
And Morph, yes. A lot of them are now missing. They were junked in 1993.
It amazes me that kids' stuff was still being junked that late.
Well, I got told that Jim is an acquaintance of mine. He works in BBC archives. Big Doctor Who fan, and he's made maquettes and models and all sorts for Doctor Who. But he said that since working in BBC archives, his views on archiving have changed dramatically because some stuff just isn't of any commercial use at all and taking up space. Now, I'm probably never really going to... changed my view that nothing should be irretrievably wiped. Whether or not hard drive copies are kept of stuff and then the masters are junked, nowadays there's no real difference. It's not like it's losing a generation by converting it to a digital file.
I can see the argument for sort of current affairs stuff and news broadcasts and all of that.
But again, even that, it's a social document, news reports. Just say, for sake of argument, the news was never tele-recorded. You have stuff like the Falklands War and the Brighton bombings and things. You know, the news of the time documents what was going on and the reactions at the time. There's value in everything. It's just how much value.
And I suppose, from a historical perspective, looking at the BBC News as it is at the moment, or looking at CNN...
I'd rather not.
But neither of them are in any way impartial. A terrible shame that the BBC is pretty much the propaganda arm of the government at the moment. It's very, very partisan about what it shows.
Well, Brexit's a case in point. At the time of recording, it's still going on, kids. It's still going on. It probably will be when I put this out. The government announced an election a couple of days ago. Immediately, the anti-Brexit stories were top of the bill on the BBC News website. It is. I've always liked to think that the BBC is impartial, and it's still my go-to source for news, but it really isn't anymore.
No, it isn't.
It pains me to say that. So segueing quite a long way from Tony Hart there. So yeah, that it take heart, because I used to quite like, and I used to enjoy making some of the stuff that he made on the programme. It was always done in a very avuncular way, and it was stuff that you probably had in your stationery bag at home, a bit of sellotape and some card, and they were just nice little examples of after school telly. I enjoyed it.
Right, will we crack on with school reunion?
Probably better had. Yes. So without further ado, Ron VT. This is an episode from 2006, from Series 2. It's David Tennant's first series, and I have very fond memories. So let's see if they stand up to scrutiny now.
You're struggling with the remotes there. Should we just get Spaff to do it?
Because Spaff, yeah, you're good at this, Spaff. Go on.
Ooh, Giles.
That's another one I've never watched. Buffy.
Oh, it's fun.
I believe the first series was particularly good. It was set in a library, was it? Or that was the base?
No, it's set in a school. He is wonderfully creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, and that was just a really nice little shadowy thing.
Good morning, class. The doctor walks in as a teacher.
I mean, the thing about the title sequence changing with every season, pretty much, is that you don't get the sort of long-term associations that you do, like we have with the Tom Baker Time Tunnel or the 1960s Howl Around stuff. You don't get a feeling for an era.
Matt Smith suffered particularly badly. Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant, they had their own sequences. Matt Smith, that changed from week to week. There was no continuity. He had two different console rooms. His seasons were chopped and changed. The style of episodes chopped and changed. It was only when you get to Peter Capaldi that uniformity comes back in. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a shock when I found out that he wasn't English. Because I'd only ever seen him in things where he had an English accent. I think in Blackpool he did sort of one or two of those. Casanova.
Eat more chips. Now, when we come to talk about resting bitch face,
Rose.
That's it. She is not happy to be a dinner lady.
Doctor Who works very well in a school setting. When Capaldi did that whole university professor thing, yeah, that really worked.
It did, yeah.
The caretaker. I'm
banging on about Sharda.
Yes, it just works.
And Class. You've not seen Class.
I've not seen all of it. I've seen. I was quite impressed with what I saw. I just never. It wasn't. I wasn't turned on by it. It was just.
To my mind, the best of the spin-offs. Oh, Torchwood. And,
oh, by this point, there was no Torchwood. They were just setting it up.
There was, because this was after Tooth and Claw. And Torchwood started with Tooth and Claw, didn't
it? The actual series.
Oh,
that
yeah.
This was the series that started dropping in the word. And then it was broadcast after the end of Series 2.
It's all just quite weird. And this actually, this bit kind of reminds me of Downtime.
Again, you've mentioned, I've still never seen it. I should probably make the effort.
It's pretty good. Very much a fan film, but still a good one. Probably not great for anybody with epilepsy, this sequence. Oh, Sarah Jane.
How can she be dead?
Well,
look at her.
It does happen.
Finch arrived 3 months ago. Next day, half the staff got flu. Finch replaced them with that lot. Except for the teacher you replaced, and that was just plain weird, her winning the lottery like that.
How's that weird?
She never played. Said the ticket was posted through her door at midnight.
The world is very strange.
May I introduce Miss Sarah Jane Smith? Miss Smith is a journalist who's writing a profile about me for the Sunday Times.
Oh, look at that.
He knows exactly how to play it because there's that little fanboy in him.
Yeah. Oh, I should think so.
And you are?
Smith, John Smith.
John Smith? I used to have a friend who sometimes went by that name.
Well, it's a very common name.
He was a very uncommon man. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Yes, very nice. More than nice, brilliant.
Have you worked here long?
No, it's only my second day.
Oh, you're new then. So, what do you think of the school? I mean, this new curriculum? So many children getting ill. Doesn't that strike you as odd?
You don't sound like someone just doing a profile.
Well, no harm in a little investigation while I'm here.
No, good for you.
What a beautiful little scene that was.
And this is Sarah Jane back to the way Sarah Jane was in her heyday, which she didn't really get in The Five Doctors. The Five Doctors, she was just generic companion who could have been anybody. K-9 and Company, she was more proactive, but she was the lead.
Yeah.
But this is her back to being the companion that she always was. And it's a real pity that there haven't been more of the... Oh, it's quite a nice little... special effect of the monster under the desk. Yeah, it's a real pity that more of the classic companions haven't come back.
I think there was, in Sarah Jane, there was talk of getting Ace back in for Series 5, and Liz Sladen died before they got there.
Yeah. I was never wildly keen on that massive long coat. It's a bit too costumey rather than something that someone would actually wear.
Oh, Sarah Jane finds the TARDIS.
I love this scene, where she first meets him properly.
Hello, Sarah Jane. It's you. Doctor. Oh, my God.
What did Pertwee used to call her? Because Tom Baker always called her Sarah. There's been a lot of people saying this stands out because they call her Sarah Jane.
Incredible. They called her both.
Yeah, wasn't it Tear Sarah Jane?
A Tear Sarah Jane? Yeah. It's a bit unfortunate that they dropped in the line there. You've regenerated, half a dozen times since we last met. It sort of wipes out all the books where they met in between, certainly Mess 7 and 8, and I know you're sort of wibbly-wobbly on the books.
No, they're fanfic.
The BBC novels have got to be BBC Doctor.
Oh, now this.
Oh.
Rats in school. Well, obviously they use them in biology lessons. They know haven't reached that bit yet. How old are you?
Izzy, no one dissects rats in school anymore. They haven't done that for years. Where are you from? The Dark Ages.
Anyway, moving on. Everything started when Mr. Finch arrived.
Oh, I do like that.
The jealous interplay.
That's a really nice effect.
He's so affectionately done.
It's slightly weird that he's more demonstrably excited to see K-9 than he is to see Sarah Jane.
You see, what's impressive is that it's been nearly an hour since we met her and I still haven't said I told you so.
I'm not listening.
Though I have prepared a little I was right dance I can show you later.
They've developed him as a character very nicely.
Yeah, because he started off as a bit of a sort of jokey piece and ended up being a good, proper, full-blown companion.
But if I were you, I'd come this year and choose.
Oh, no, that effect doesn't work.
Not really.
Not really.
I thought of you on Christmas Day. I was in Croydon. Where you dropped me off, I was in Croydon.
Where was it?
Aberdeen.
I mean, what kind of calf lets you bring a little rusty old junk?
It's never occurred to me before.
Dump it on one of the tables. Isn't this the thing that just scalded somebody to...
How many of us have there been travelling with you?
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does, if I'm just the latest in a long line.
As opposed to what?
I thought you and me were... I obviously got it wrong. I've been to the year 5 billion, right? But this... Now, this is really seeing the future. You just leave us behind. Is that what you're going to do to me?
No, not to you.
But Sarah Jane... You were that close to her once, and now you never even mention her. Why not?
I don't age. I regenerate.
This is very Highlander, this bit.
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way, but...
I can't spend the rest of mine with you.
The Russell T. Davis era is peppered with these little cusp of getting under his skin moments.
Yeah.
He always said that in every story he would button up his suit. I don't know whether he actually managed it, but he'd button it up differently every single story.
He's doing a wonderful sort of alien turning head.
Not blinking.
Yeah.
Very measured delivery, yeah.
Last night.
I was just saying how hard it was adjusting to life back on Earth.
He's again more emotional scratching the surface. The well, Rose, it was never really a hidden subtext. It was quite obvious she was in love with him. But Sarah Jane, you're looking now through eyes 30, 40 years later, and it sounds like Sarah Jane was more relationship-y than was ever.
And it's really well written the way they just bond.
It's actually quite weird seeing this, because all these kids now, a lot of them, they've grown up and been in other things, and it's odd seeing them all so young.
Oh, very Troughton, with wires around the neck and all. The overlays on this are really nice. Mm. This is one of those episodes that's going to make a really short podcast because we're just so caught up in...
Oh. See, I've never understood when this happens, and it's certainly not confined to this episode of Doctor Who. You don't look at a screen and the image is reflected on you. That's projected onto them. Mm. This isn't the first time it's happened where we've watched something and just said absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Because we've been spellbound.
And the classic ones were tending to prep beforehand, but we haven't been doing that with the new Who.
But for all those naysayers out there that say it's not as good as it used to be, or which do you prefer, classic or new Who, the distinction is blurring because they've made a conscious effort to make it one long story now by drawing back pieces from earlier stories.
Yeah, I mean... As an overall, I prefer classic to new Who. But that's because I've been watching it my entire life. And I've watched every one of the stories, even the really bad ones, at least a few times. Things like The War Machines or Image of the Fandal, I've watched over and over and over and over again. There are very few new Who that I've been like that with. And still don't have the connection because I didn't grow up with new Who. And I think that...
Mm.
That's the difference. But some of it is excellent. This is
superb.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, if I've crashed on the settee at night, it's new Who that I always go for.
Oh, no, classic for me.
And if I'm honest, Capaldi, I've said it before, he's my favourite of the new Who.
Oh, that was a nice transition.
It was a lovely effect. And the reflections on the floor, didn't it?
Yeah.
The CGI has dated a little bit, but it's...
Dame's a bit crap.
And hit one of the best lines ever. Forget the shooty dog thing.
It's a little odd. It says physics on the door, but inside it was clearly a chemistry laboratory. I'd forgotten that. Just unplugs it. But presumably you'd have to do that for every classroom.
Capacity for only one shot, Master. For maximum impact. I must be stationed directly beside the vat.
But you'll be trapped inside.
That is correct.
I can't let you do that.
No alternative possible, Master.
Goodbye, old friend.
Goodbye, Master.
You good dog.
Affirmative.
Oh, K9.
First companion death of New Who. But actually, as with almost every other companion death that came...
It comes back to life.
Yeah, it lasts about 10 minutes.
Oh, it's not the first companion death. Jack resurrected within 10 minutes.
True. Oh.
Not a dry eye in the house.
You've decorated. Do you like it?
screensaver coral.
I have to admit, I never really liked this TARDIS. It was a bit too cobbled together. So when you get to Matt Smith's second one, and certainly when they redecorated it for Capaldi, it's all gleaming and
yeah,
that was more my style.
Sarah Jane Smith and Mickey Smith. You need a Smith on board.
Okay, then I'll be doing a lot.
Oh.
No, great. Why not?
Her own boyfriend is the gooseberry.
The lighting's weird.
It's a little bit overexposed.
It's kind of like the blue UV lighting you get in Skanky Loose to stop people shooting up. Isn't it? You know, it makes the skin glow slightly so you can't see the veins underneath.
Well,
that's kind of what that looks like.
That's put a different light on things.
I haven't ever thanked you for that time. And like I said, I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Something to tell the grandkids?
Oh, I think it'd be someone else's grandkids now.
Right, yes. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to ask. You haven't... Hmm? There hasn't been anyone, you know...
Well, there was this one guy. I travelled with him for a while, but he was a tough act to follow.
Oh, Sarah Jane.
Oh, not say it, please, this time. Say it.
Goodbye. My Sarah Jane.
Your favourites.
Oh.
There are creatures. We can't stop them.
I need to find out what they're looking for. There's only one way I can do that.
You are inside my mind.
A spaceship from the 51st century stalking a woman from the 18th.
One of them must have found the right time window. Now it's time to send in the troops.
I mean, it's incredibly pretty, this girl in the fireplace. I do really quite like the Clockwork Robots. I just have a
problem with him grooming a 6-year-old.
Enormous problem with him spending the entire episode grooming a 6-year-old, which is what the entire plot is. The horse through the mirror just makes no sense whatsoever, and it's there purely for a visual clip, which... In a better story, I wouldn't have a problem with. It is a slight shame with this that you're putting Sarah Jane up against Rose, because Rose was very clearly established as the second lead character at this point. It wasn't she's a companion. Mm. It's she is the second lead. And Liz Sladen absolutely acts her off the screen.
Yeah.
It's
a shame, really. Looking at it now through podcast eyes and analysing it, you see flaws that you just don't see when you're casually watching.
That scene in the cafe where Rose is with Mickey, basically with a cob on, and lay off on the chips of OU, that kind of thing. I mean, that, he should have got a slap for that under any other circumstances. And the difference in quality of performance between Liz Sladen, who just owns the screen, and Billy Piper, who's good, but she's not Liz Sladen good.
I think everybody was very pleasantly surprised when we found out that Billy Piper was actually quite good.
Yeah, because before going to it, she hadn't really done anything. She
teeny bopper. That's what everybody knew her for. Yeah.
And it was, oh, this is a publicity stunt and she's never going to be any good. And actually, it turned out that she was.
Mm. But there are little nuances that in the cafeteria, so the school refectory, there are just little things like doesn't like the chips and, you know, here's me as a dinner lady. And there are little flashes that she does and they're wonderful. The only trouble is she didn't stand a chance in this one because certainly for people of our generation, all eyes were on Sarah Jane and K-9. You can see it in David Tennant's eyes, the little fanboy in him. I'm in an episode of Doctor Who with Sarah Jane. It's just all over his face.
And the scenes that they have together.
They're beautiful.
When she first meets him as the Doctor and she sees the TARDIS and turns around and he's just standing there. That was wonderful. Yeah. And the goodbye scene.
I do remember crying at this when it was on. I did shed a tear for Sarah Jane.
I'm not surprised. I didn't. To be honest, it wasn't terribly far away, but I tend not to have quite that level of emotional reaction to TV stuff. Whereas I know you do.
Yeah, I do. I like to get into it, yes.
What was it that really affected you that I was very surprised by? Oh, Separate Tables.
Yes.
When we did that.
Yeah, not Visiting Hour, the other one, yes. That was lovely.
We'll do some Ratigan, we'll do some Coward. But anyway, back to School Reunion. The story is, it's okay.
There.
It's not about the story.
Yeah.
Or at least it's not about the episode plot. It's about the companion story, the parallel between the Doctor, Sarah Jane, and K-9, even though they never actually travelled in the TARDIS together. And the Doctor, Rose, and Mickey. I'd forgotten that last little bit at the end where Mickey decides he wants to come along in the TARDIS.
Mm.
The Doctor isn't going to object, but makes it very clear that it's Rose's decision. And yeah. Rose doesn't want him along. You can see that in her face.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that Sarah has twigged that. And it's, this is a bit orcs. Time to exit stage left before we get the drama.
But by this point, Mickey has moved on. He's recognised the fact that he's lost Rose.
Yeah.
He's still in love with her, but he's recognised he's lost her. But he still wants to know what the deal is, why it's such a big deal. And, in the series, it doesn't last very long. I think it's 4 episodes it lasts before he leaves. But then there are great leaps in character development each time you see him after that. I can't remember whether he was actually made it to Torchwood. Within Doctor Who, it's clear that he had involvement with Torchwood by the time you get to the end of David Tennant's time. But I don't know whether he actually appeared in the series. I know Martha did.
Well, in Torchwood, the series?
In Torchwood,
no, he didn't. You saw him and Martha together.
At the end of
Tennant's era, and you assumed that was as something Torchwood, because she becomes a Torchwood operative, doesn't she?
Yeah, and then they go freelance as just them two.
Yeah, so. Because wasn't Martha supposed to be originally the Doctor in Torchwood? Wasn't she supposed to have the
Byrne
Gorman?
Oh, I don't know. Never heard.
Because Tosh wasn't a Doctor. You kind of think of her as one because in Aliens of London,
she's autopsying a pig.
Yeah. But that wasn't Tosh, was it?
Yeah, that was Tosh.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was her first appearance, which, to be honest, I hadn't remembered, because she's in it for that little.
I just assumed it was one of those companion tryouts, like Martha playing her cousin in Torchwood 1 and Karen Gillan in
Pfizer Pompeii. No, it was definitely Tosh in Aliens of London, because that is explicitly referenced in a Torchwood episode as well.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that bit. Oh, now, wasn't it Freema pissed off Russell T. Davies. That's it. He'd planned that for her. She'd got the job on Survivors.
Right.
And she was going to be one of the leads in that. And somehow that got scuppered and her character was killed off in the first episode.
I've never seen one of the Survivors.
I was never wildly keen on the original Survivors. The first couple of episodes, the proper post-apocalyptic, the world is dead, wander around for a bit. Those I quite like. It kind of settles down to a slightly less funny good life in the end.
Right.
When the whole group of survivors settles into a farmhouse.
But the Freema Agyeman story, I didn't know that he was pissed off with it.
Apparently, I mean, you never know what's gone on behind the scenes and the sort of fan rumours and things. But my understanding was that the sort of character development role was she would leave the TARDIS and then she would join Torchwood.
I didn't know that, right.
In terms of what Torchwood does and the kind of people that it co-opted into working for it, then ex-companions would be a really good choice.
Well, I always thought Torchwood would have worked best as a sort of companion's graveyard.
Yeah.
Don't remember, the characters in it were quite interesting. I think they never ran with it. That's another one. They chopped and changed the style all the time with Torchwood. If they'd run with it as it was, I think it would still be going.
The thing I loved about Torchwood, oh, there are a few things that I loved about Torchwood. The thing I loved about the way Torchwood was set up is that Susie was front and centre in all the publicity. She looked as though she was going to be a major part of the team. And then they kill her off in the first episode. And that's a real surprise. Children of Earth is a fantastic piece of television.
That I can't fault.
There are some wonderful episodes. There are some awful episodes as well. In terms of Doctor Who spin-offs, if you can have Children of Earth on its own, that's top of the list.
I'll agree with that. I was gripped by that. I still, looking back now, I still cannot believe that Russell T Davies got that slot. It was, I think, something like 9:30. It might even have been 9 o'clock on BBC One.
Every night for a week. I was working away at the time, so I decided I am not going to bother watching. I'm going to get them at home to record it and blitz it all on the Saturday. So I saw the whole of Children of Earth in one sitting.
Probably 5 hours.
Yeah, because we've never sat through 5 hours of television.
Never, it doesn't happen.
I was sharing a house at the time with a massive Torchwood fan. I got back late on the Friday evening, and there'd been the final episode, and the whole house was absolutely electric about it. And actually the entire house, or a big chunk of the household, watched the whole thing again the next evening. Mm. So Children of Earth, absolutely top of the list. K9 and Company, because it's K9 and Company. But then Class.
I think I saw the first two. And again, it's nothing to do with it being unengaging or anything. I've just never got around to watching it. They treated Class absolutely abysmally. I think they put it out on BBC Three. I think I'm right in saying it was after they'd done that stupid thing of taking it off air and putting it online only. I don't know what the viewers are for BBC Three now, but I can't imagine they're very high at all.
It's a real pity. It's a very, very good series.
And then they did broadcast it, but it's something like 12 o'clock at night or something on a Thursday.
So going completely against its target demographic. It's really, really good. Mm. In terms of episode-by-episode quality, it outshines Torchwood. Now, Torchwood has some incredibly good episodes, but it's got some incredibly bad episodes as well.
Mm.
Whereas Class is consistently good right the way across. So that's either second or third, depending on how we're looking at Children of Earth. Then Sarah Jane, then Torchwood. I like Torchwood, but because there's some really very poor stuff, and because when you look at the whole of Torchwood, then you have to include Miracle Day.
Unfortunately, they really shouldn't have made that.
But that was trying to reboot Torchwood US, and they needed an American central character. It was all about becoming an American Captain Jack, which is a bit weird because wasn't Captain Jack originally sort of fake American anyway?
Yes.
There are some nice bits in Miracle Day, but 10 episodes... God above, it does not support that.
The padding in the middle. You cannot ramp something up that far. Because the first couple of episodes, they make a big deal of the upshot of nobody dying anymore. And then it's sort of forgotten in the middle.
Oh, I don't know. There's that wonderful bit where they've got all the elderly people in the hospital who haven't died and they're just incinerating them. And
in the ovens, yeah.
Yeah, and that doctor that they've got gets trapped in the oven as well. I mean, there are some really horrible bits in it like that. And I think if they'd condensed that to 5 episodes and they hadn't had all that padding, it could have been very good. I don't think it would have been Children of Earth good, but it would have been much better.
There was somebody trapped in a compactor as well. She was drugged in the back of a car, and then they put her in a car compactor.
Mm.
And all you see is this eye in the middle of it. That was fairly unpleasant. I'm not completely slagging off Miracle Day, but yeah, all these companion graveyards that we've had, I think Torchwood had the potential to be the one where it could have been something much better if they'd just nurtured it.
So which companions would you have put into Torchwood if you were able to?
I think Ace would have worked quite well, actually. There was talk of her coming back for Sarah Jane.
Yeah, and Sarah Jane would actually have worked very well.
Sarah Jane
and
would have worked well.
When they met, Sarah Jane and Captain Jack bounced off each other really well. Because he did his normal sort of charming thing, and she was flattered but wasn't having any of the bullshit that goes along with it. And that would have been a really nice thing to see between the two of them.
There's no one else leaps to mind, if I'm honest.
Tegan.
Tegan I'm very fond of. And if that, you were that to spark between her and the Fifth Doctor was great.
If you were to have Tegan as
a manager sort of thing.
Yeah, as basically the site manager and Captain Jack as kind of head of the away team.
Mm.
That could have worked well.
Yeah, because I think by this point she would have matured enough to have calmed down that whiny bitch, don't want to be here just want to go home. Now that I'm home, I want to go back. I think all that would have probably mellowed. We've said this before, though. The stuff that we gush about, it sometimes doesn't make that interesting a podcast.
For a really interesting commentary, you need a Paula.
You do need a Paula. And
actually, coming right the way back to School Reunion, there's no Paula in it.
There isn't.
There is nothing bad to say about this. We can niggle away at the tiny edges about some of the old-fashioned looking CGI. We can
pick holes about putting a rusty tin dog on a cafe table, but there's nothing really.
No, it was just an absolute joy to watch.
As you've said, the story's not up to much, but
it's not. Well, the story is, you're looking at two different stories. Yes. The background Krillotane plot, that's very by the numbers. The interesting story is the interpersonal relationships between the five TARDIS team members. And I normally criticise stories that are too interpersonal relationship heavy. And I still stand by that. Something like Waters of Mars, where there isn't a plot and it's all about character interaction, I don't find interesting as watching a soap opera. This, there was an underlying plot. There was actually quite an interesting underlying plot. And in parallel, there are the interpersonal things, particularly between Sarah Jane and Rose and Sarah Jane and the Doctor, that make it more interesting. And the Krillotane plot is what makes it a Doctor Who story rather than a soap opera. So this strikes the balance really, really well. Who wrote it?
Toby Whithouse.
Well, he did a good one. What else has he done?
Vampires of Venice, The God Complex, A Town Called Mercy, Under the Lake Before the Flood, and The Lie of the Land. He also did Greeks Bearing Gifts for Torchwood.
So good stuff.
It's a good, yeah. A Town Called Mercy I really enjoyed, actually. And to be honest, The Lie of the Land, that
Vampires of Venice I like.
It's not one that I've gone back to.
Yeah, but God Complex wasn't one that either of us had gone back to, but until we did it for the podcast.
And it was pretty good.
And it was absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
So yeah, an excellent piece of television. It's one that I have come back to time and again, School Reunion. For all the love that is lavished on the Russell T. Davies era, I don't mind it very often. You can watch any of them, and the good, entertaining pieces of television, there's very few that are, they don't even cruise in the bad area, really.
Girl in the Fireplace.
No, I like Girl in the Fireplace. It is pretty to look at, and there's some witty dialogue.
It's just too creepy. It's like 42. 42 is a great story to watch until you realise that it's Planet of Evil.
I was going to say a massive rip-off of Planet of Evil. Yeah. We've done this before, haven't we? But School Reunion, yeah.
It's just after Tooth and Claw, and I actually really like Tooth and Claw.
I'm just glad that they did get her. They got Sarah Jane and they did the proper spin-off. Because there's been attempts over the years. Obviously, there was K-9 and Company. Big finish to the Sarah Jane series, which it was all right. But it wasn't really Sarah Jane on fire.
I really quite liked it. I mean, it does very much suffer from the big finish effect, where somebody that they trust turns out to betray them at the end. And it's nice that Big Finish have recognised that they did that and they're moving away from it. But at the time, it was happening with pretty much every spin-off that they put out, to the point where it's sort of, you start off listening to a series and, this is enjoyable. Who's going to be the traitor at the end of it? And you exclude anybody who had been on screen in Doctor Who. They were absolutely sacrosanct. Pretty much anybody else was fair game.
Doctor Who, Torchwood and Sarah Jane Adventures. For consistency at that time, Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
There were highs and lows for the others. Sarah Jane was the most consistent in terms of quality.
Sarah Jane, I don't think there's a bad story. There are ones that are better. Death of the Doctor is marvellous.
Yes, it is.
But how much of that is marvellous because
Matt Smith's in it and Joe Jones in it.
Katie Manning. Completely different type of interaction, but you get the interaction between Sarah Jane and Joe and the whole sequence that they have where Joe's going, oh, but he never came back and saw me. And it's kind of parallel to this, except that by the time you got to School Reunion, there'd been the Five Doctors. There'd been K-9 and Company. So there had still been dips back. Whereas Joe's saying, but there was never any of that for me.
Yeah. We should raise a glass.
To Liz Sladen.
Yes. Before we sign off, we need series appraisal.
We do.
I am Persian. Name your price.
That's not much.
No.
There is some excellent resting bitch face.
Rose.
Billy Piper really, really does that. In terms of costumes, not really.
Well, they're all quite sensible, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I assume it was a conscious decision, but Sarah Jane and Rose are kind of wearing different variations of the same thing.
Yes.
It's jeans and a top and a jacket. And that has to be an in parallel thing, but it's not particularly...
Oh, why didn't they get it back in the Andy Pandy suit?
Because it looked fucking awful first time. Do you know, there was a... Oh, God, what was it called, that shop? Lots and lots of Sarah Jane's costumes came from a shop in London. Bus Stop, it was called.
Pass.
And the Andy Pandy suit and that weird stripy thing that she wears in Planet of the Spiders. And all things like this were things that you could get from this shop, Bus Stop. And I'm not sure what the connection was. I think there was some connection. But they were the ones that did the costuming for Sarah Jane.
I did not know that. Right.
And sometimes it works and you have quite a sensible looking thing that normal people would wear, like Mask of Mandragora. And sometimes you get the Andy Pandy suit, where if you saw it out in public, you'd point and laugh. But Sarah Jane's not the only companion that suffers from that problem. I mean, look at some of the stuff they made Romana wear. That dreadful maternity wear in Nightmare of Eden. But this is a little bit more World Enough and Time dressed for success rather than the Drag Queen Index. I think this is fairly low on the Drag Queen Index. There's good resting bitch face, but there's no real...
Are we going to give it a 2 for Rose's reaction?
Yeah, I think 2 for the strength of the retching bitch face. Resting bitch face.
The retching fist, yes.
So I think this deserves 2 Olvias.
Splendid.
Fire up the randomizer. The Angels Take Manhattan.
Oh, no. Right. The randomizer's not being very kind. What did it throw up before that? Sleep No More, if you remember.
Oh, God, yes.
We couldn't do 2 bad episodes.
We just plowed through the Crimson Horror, and sometimes life has to take priority over rules. Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten that. But equally, the randomizer has brought us The God Complex, which I wouldn't have watched otherwise, because I don't remember being particularly blown away by it first time around, and it was brilliant.
Mm.
Okay, we've had to go through Crimson Horror, but it's interesting to revisit these things just in case you're wrong first time. We weren't. And The Angels...
It's Rory and Amy's last story, so...
May turn out to be a misunderstood masterpiece. I'm not putting money on it.
I'm not putting money. I seem to remember recently re-watching that.
I don't think it's one that I've watched since the time.
Anyway, with that, we shall sign off. Thank you very much, as ever, for listening, boys and girls. We shall be back shortly with another podcast.
Bye now.
The Exton-Moss Experiment featured Simon Exton and Ken Moss. All featured soundtracks are the property of their respective producers, and no infringement of copyright is intended. Title music was performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and the programme was produced by Maverick Productions. For more information, please visit maverickproductionsuk.blogspot.com or find us on social media.